Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Shellac Stack. My name is Brian Wright, your host for this musical variety hour, featuring 78 RPM records from the first half of the 20th century. Yes, it's my bad habit to collect these things, and I figure I'd put them to good use by playing some for you on each Shellac Stack program. I'm calling the show today Hearing Double, or Same Song, Second Version. I've got 7 different songs for you, but 14 different records. We're going to hear each song twice in 2 contrasting versions, sometimes 2 versions made the same year when a song first came out, sometimes decades apart. Anyway, I hope it'll be fun to compare and contrast different versions of the same song, some of which I hope will be familiar to you and some maybe not. We're going to start out with Sam Lannon and his Famous Players, followed by Jim Miller and Charlie Farrell. These 2 records were made about 2 months apart in the summer of 1927. The song is What Do We Do on a Dewy Day, written by Johnson, Tobias, and Sherman. First up, the Sam Lannon version, which was made June 29th, 1927 in New York City. It features a so-so vocalist named Russell Douglas, who doesn't get credit on the label. It's an okay record, 40855. After that, the Jim Miller and Charlie Farrell version, recorded for the Victor label, 20906, on September 1st, 1927. Jim Miller and Charlie Farrell, the duet vocalists. So let's start out this Hearing Double edition of the Shellac Stack with What Do We Do on a Dewy Day?
Of talking on a moonlight night in May. But what do we do on a dewy day? Do we love? Do we play? Do we hug just a little bit, kiss just a little bit, boy, I'll say. When the fall is warm and cozy and the old folks are away. Oh, what do we do on a dewy day?
Weather with sweet sweetie mine, I can't enjoy my time All we do is go out walking when the sun shines bright and gay. But what do we do? What do we do on a do-do-do-e-day? All we do is lots of talking on a moonlight night in May. But what do we do? What do we do on a do-do-do-e-day? Do we love? Do we play? Do we hug? Just a little bit kiss, just a little bit, boy, I'll say. When the parlor's warm and cozy and the old folks are away. What do we do? What do we do on a do-do-do-e-day? When the sun shines bright and gay. What do we do? What do we do on a do-do-do-e-day? All we do is lots of talking on a moonlight night in May. What do we do? What do we do on a do-do-do-e-day? Do we love? Hilo-lo. Do we play?
Oh, hilo-lo.
Do we hug? Just a little bit, kiss just a little bit. Boy, I'll say, when the parlor's warm and cozy and the old folks are away. What do we do? What do we do? On a do-do-do-e. Do you do what we do on a do-do-do-e-day?
And there you have two versions of What Do We Do on a Do-Do-Do-E Day. First up, it was Sam Lannon and his Famous Players. Really nice to hear a Sam Lannon record in such glorious sound. Is on that OK78. Normally, Sam Lannon was busy in the recording studios of dime store labels like Cameo or Perfect or Banner or Domino or Regal, and so it's nice to hear him recording for a company that could really capture the full sound of the band. Maybe a bit unfortunate for us, they also captured the full sound of the singer, Russell Douglas, who, well, we can say he's not my favorite. After that, we hear Jim Miller and Charlie Farrell, their Victor record, of What Do We Do on a Do-Do-Do-E Day. Both of those from the summer of 1927. We're going to stay in the summer of 1927 for the next two selections. First up, we'll hear from Julie Wintz and his Hofbräu Orchestra. Julie, J-U-L-I-E, was a man. His name, rather a nickname, was short for Julius, and young Julius studied violin and wanted to go into law, actually passed the bar exam, but found he could make more money as a band leader. So he led an orchestra in the 1920s that recorded for Perfect and Harmony. In the 1930s, he led an outfit at the Top Hat in New York City, and then moved into sort of more of a management position with the Music Corporation of America in the 1940s. Unfortunately, he died of a brain hemorrhage when he was still quite young, in about 1950 or 51. After Julie Wintz and his Hofbräu Orchestra, we'll hear pianist Pauline Alpert, one of the great novelty pianists of the 1920s and 30s. I've featured some of her records on other Shellac Stack programs. I like her playing a lot, and I wish that she had recorded more. But we'll hear a nice thing she did of Magnolia. That's the song here. First, it'll be Julie Wintz's version, followed by Pauline Alpert, both of these recorded in June of 1927. The vocalist on this first version by Julie Wintz and his Hofbräu Orchestra will be Bill Zimmer. So now, composed by De Silva, Brown, and Henderson, here's Magnolia. Thank you.
wannabe. Mix it up with TNT, and what have you got? Magnolia. Clara Bow, ain't she delish? Season her with Lillian Gish, and what have you got? Magnolia. Listen, well, it's driving, that gal is trying. When I'm done at 20-1, you say I'm lying. Take Cleopatra and Camille, add some more sex appeal. Mix a lot, what have you got, Magnolia?
Versions of a song I like a lot. That's called Magnolia, with the subtitle Mix the Lot, What Have You Got? That was pianist Pauline Albert, and wow, was that clean or what? Those right-hand novelty breaks, So good. Doesn't get much better than that. That was a Victor 78, number 20786. And if you detected a bit of ambiance, a bit of room sound, that's because that was recorded in Victor's Liederkranz Hall studio in New York City. That was from June 3rd, 1927. Before that, we heard Julie Wintz and his Hofbrau Orchestra with Magnolia, Bill Zimmer, the vocalist, from June 14th, 1927, Harmony record number 438-H. My name is Brian Wright. You're listening to the Shellac Stack on today's program, bringing you the same song in two versions. We're calling it Hearing Double. And in this next set, we'll hear two versions of the song Trouble in Mind, written by Richard M. Jones. I think the song goes back to the late 20s, but we're going to start with a recording made on March 17th, 1937, by a group billed as the Four Southerners. I don't know that anything is really known about this group. In fact, I don't even know if there really was such a group as the Four Southerners. I somewhat suspect this may actually be the Mills Brothers. And my friend, the late Rich Connedy, also seemed to think this might be the Mills Brothers under a pseudonym. They sure sound like the Mills Brothers, but we'll leave it open. This is Decca 7291. It's a really nice version, regardless of who it is. After that, we'll jazz things up just a little bit with Bob Wilbur's Wildcats, a recording made in New York on New Year's Eve 1947 of Trouble in Mind. This is issued on the Rampart label, number 6. In the group, we'll hear Johnny Glazel and Jerry Blumberg on the cornets, Bob Mielke on trombone, Bob Wilbur, the clarinet, Dick Wellstead's at the piano, Charlie Traeger on bass, and Denny Strong at the drums. Two versions now of Trouble in Mind, starting with the Four Southerners.
Thank you.
There's just something so appealing to me about the melody of that song. Trouble in Mind, it just gets under the skin and doesn't let go. We started off that set with The Four Southerners, A Deck of 78 from March of 1937, and then from just over a decade later, December of 1947, we heard Bob Wilbur's Wildcats and a record made for the Tiny Rampart label. I hope that didn't leave you feeling too troubled in mind. It's not my intention to get you down here, so we'll try to pick things up a bit now with Ida Sweet as Apple Cider. And first up, we'll hear Earl Fuller's Rector Novelty Orchestra and a real wild, rousing rendition of the song. From September 4th, 1917, this was made in New York City for the Columbia label A2403. Earl Fuller was directing an orchestra at Rector's in New York at the time that was competing somewhat with the original Dixieland jazz band that was playing over at Reisenweber's restaurant in New York. Earl Fuller's Jazz Orchestra, or Rector Novelty Orchestra as they're billed here, gave Ted Lewis his first real professional break, his first opportunity to record anyway. I don't know if he's present on this particular record. I don't think so, but we will hear some explosive xylophone playing from, I think, Teddy Brown. It's really wild. Wait till you hear it. After that, we'll head over to Japan for a recording made there for the Teichku label. This is Dick Mine and his Serenaders. Don't let Dick Mine's name fool you. He was Japanese, quite a well-known singer over there, and film star. This record was made probably in about 1936. I don't have a discography that would give me a more accurate date, though. It's Teichku record number 50345. So, two contrasting versions, and I think these two really are contrasting, of Ida Sweet as Apple Cider. Thank you.
dooby-doo.
I don't suppose it's really fair of me to try to compare Dick Minaj to his singing counterparts in the West in the 1930s, but I can't help think of him as the Japanese Al Boley or the Japanese Bing Crosby. Not because he sounds like them, he doesn't really, but he was quite popular and quite prolific and recorded a lot of the hit songs of the day. He took a lot of Western songs and had them translated into Japanese and then performed them for the Japanese market back in the 1930s. That was Dick Minaj and his Serenaders, a THQ record from about 1936, Ida Sweet as Apple Cider. Before that, we heard the same song played by Earl Fuller's Rector Novelty Orchestra for the Columbia label almost 20 years earlier, from September of 1917. We're going to continue now with another song I really, really like. This one was written by Bernice Petcare and Joe Young. It's called Lullaby of the Leaves. We'll hear it performed first by Adrian Schubert and his orchestra. This is a Crown 78, number 3318. It features Harold von Emberg as the vocalist. It was recorded in New York in March of 1932. We'll follow that with a solo piano rendition of Lullaby of the Leaves, a Decca 78 from 1940, and just for kicks, I won't reveal the name of the pianist at this time, but I think you'll be able to recognize the pianist. I'm not even going to say whether it's him or her. I think you'll be able to recognize this pianist after, I think about three notes. So let's listen now to two versions of Lullaby of the Leaves.
Thank you.
eyes. Oh, sing me to sleep, lullaby of the leaves. Cover me with heaven's blue and let me dream a dream or two. Oh, sing me to sleep, lullaby of the leaves. I'm breezing along, along with the breeze. I'm hearing a song to the trees. Ooh, that pine melody caressing the shore, familiar to me, I've heard it before. Ooh, that Southland, don't I feel it in my soul? And don't I know I've reached my goal? Oh, sing me to sleep, lullaby all the leaves.
Did you figure out who the pianist was? It may have taken you a few more than three notes, but probably not too many more. That was the incomparable Art Tatum at the piano. His recording of Lullaby of the Leaves, recorded in Los Angeles, California on February 22nd, 1940. And as a curious little coincidence, I noticed as that record was playing that the matrix number is DLA, which would indicate Los Angeles, 1940. So it was recorded in 1940, and the Matrix number is 1940. Also, as that was playing, I was reminded of the time I was first introduced to Art Tatum. It wasn't until I got to college as an undergraduate that I first heard Art Tatum. Yes, it took me a while. But one of the students in my History of Jazz course had to present to the class on Art Tatum, and the word he kept using to describe his playing was nasty. And he meant that in a good way, as in, Art Tatum's playing is nasty. And I guess I don't have much more to add. Yes, it is nasty, and of course, in a good way. Before that, Adrian Schubert and his orchestra, and their rendition of Lullaby of the Leaves from March of 1932. Harold von Emberg was the vocalist there. Up next, I've got a song by Irving Berlin that goes all the way back to, well, at least 1911. I think that's the year it came out. The first record here was made in New York on December 29th, 1911. The group is the Harmony Male Quartet. This is really the Columbia Quartet, but they're called the Harmony Male Quartet because this is a Harmony record. Well, sort of. Really, Harmony records of the time were simply Columbia records that had a slightly larger spindle hole drilled so they could fit on Harmony disc machines, and then this Harmony record company would basically just paste over their own label right on top of the Columbia record label. So sometimes you'll find these with the labels partially peeled off and you can see the original Columbia label underneath. This is Harmony record number A1123, which would correspond, I think, to Columbia A1123. The song is Everybody's Doing It Now. And after we hear the Harmony Male Quartet sing it, we'll hear Guido Dero play it on the accordion as an instrumental solo. Guido Dero's version was recorded about 8 months later on August 5th, 1912. So two versions of Everybody's Doing It Now, and here at the Shellac Stack, we certainly are doing it now.
Honey, can't you hear?
Funny, funny music, dear.
It's a funny strain going to your brain like a bottle of wine. Fine.
Hon, 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 take a chance.
One little dance.
Can't you see them all swaying up the hall? Let's be getting in line.
Everybody's doing it,
doing it, doing what?
Everybody's doing it,
doing it, doing what? See that ragtime couple over there? Watch them throw their shoulders in the air. Snap your fingers, honey, I declare.
It's a bear.
It's a bear.
It's a bear.
Bear. Everybody's doing it,
doing it, doing what?
Everybody's doing it,
doing it, doing what? Ain't that music touching your heart? Ain't that trombone busting the bar? Come, 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 let us start. Everybody's doing it now.
Baby, baby, get a spoon.
I'm a fool.
Honey, don't you smile. Let us rest a while.
I'm so weak in the chest.
Rest. Go, 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 go. Get a chair.
No, 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 no. Leave it there.
Honey, if the mob, still I'm on the job. I'm as weak as the rest.
Everybody's doing it.
Doing it, doing what?
Everybody's doing it.
Doing it, doing what? See that ragtime couple over there. Watch them throw their shoulders in the air. Snap your fingers, honey, I declare.
It's a bear.
It's a bear.
It's a bear.
Bear.
Everybody's doing it.
Doing it, doing what?
Why, everybody's doing it.
Doing it, doing what? Ain't that music touching your heart? Ain't that trombone busting apart? Come, 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 let us start. Everybody's doing it now.
Everybody's doing it.
Doing it, doing what?
Everybody's doing it.
Doing it, doing what? See that ragtime couple over there? Watch them throw their shoulders in the air. Snap your fingers, honey, I declare.
It's a bear.
It's a bear.
It's a bear.
There.
Everybody's doing it.
Doing it, doing what?
Well, everybody's doing it.
Doing it, doing what? Ain't that music pressing your heart? Ain't that trombone busting apart? Come, 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 let us start. Everybody's doing it now.
Everybody's doing it, doing it, doing it. It's a catchy tune. That was Irving Berlin's Everybody's Doing It Now. That was Guido Darrow at the accordion, Columbia A1294 from August of 1912. Before that, the Columbia Quartet as the Harmony Male Quartet from a few months earlier, December of 1911. Two versions of Everybody's Doing It Now. We've got time for one more pairing on today's Shellac Stack program. Before we get to it, as always, I'd like to take a moment here to thank you for listening to the program and also encourage you to drop me a line if you feel so inclined. My email address is shellacstack@gmail.com. Again, that's shellacstack@gmail.com. If you have any comments, questions, suggestions, or requests, that's the best way to reach me. Also, if you enjoy the program, maybe you might take a moment and let some friends know about the program. They can tune in and hear it as well. I'm all about sharing this great music, and if you can help me get the word out, I'd greatly appreciate it. So now let's get on to today's last set of records. The last tune here is Someday, Sweetheart, written by John C. Spikes and Benjamin Spikes. First up, we'll hear it recorded by Jelly Roll Morton's Red Hot Peppers on the Victor label, 20405. It was recorded in the Webster Hotel in Chicago, Illinois, on December 16, 1926. After that, we'll jump forward almost a decade, a good 9 years anyway, to September 20, 1935, to hear a recording made in New York by Mildred Bailey and her swing band. It's a Vocalion record, 3057. So, two versions now of Someday, Sweetheart. And on the Jelly Roll Morton record label, it says Someday, Sweetheart, Blues. Thank you.
love me true, and I believed in you. You broke your vow, now somehow it seems I'm always blue. But there'll come a day when you're far away. You'll sit alone and cry, for me you'll sigh, and the days that have gone by. Someday, sweetheart, you may be sorry for what you've done to my poor heart. You may regret the vows you've broken and the things you did that made us drift apart. You're happy now and can't see how the weary blues will ever come to you. But as you sow, so shall you reap, dear. And what you reap will make you weep someday.
That sounds that good does make me hate to say goodbye, but that's all the time we have on this edition of the Shellac Stack. We closed with two versions of Someday Sweetheart. First, Jelly Roll Morton's Red Hot Peppers from 1926, and then wrapping things up with Mildred Bailey and her swing band from 1935. I almost forgot to mention that my copy of that last record, Mildred Bailey, is a neat-looking blue wax pressing on Vocalion. Yes, that's all there is on this edition of the Shellac Stack, but hey, we can do it all over again next time. So I hope you'll join me for more 78 RPM records from the first half of the 20th century on the next edition of the Shellac Stack. Until then, thanks for listening. Take care. Bye-bye.